This is Alive with Joseph.
Hallelujah, 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 amen. Welcome to church. Welcome to this beautiful Mother's Day. I believe that Mother's Day is a very complex day. It is a day of mixed emotions. For some people, it is for celebration, and for some others, it is grief. So for some, it is them missing a mom. So today, I believe that, you know, God always wants us to steward days like this properly, and I do not take days like this lightly, because I want to also be able to steward it, you know, well, as the Almighty God would want me to, so that every mother, you know, gets to, you know, experience the love of God in their lives. Amen. So I want to encourage us today, let's be very intentional as we celebrate the mothers in our lives. Amen. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 32 to 35, still standing, as it is our tradition to read, standing for God's word. Amen. It says, then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless, did you see that, from hurting you, I was not just going to hurt neighbor, but I was also going to hurt you. From hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she brought him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Now we're going to do something. All the men, you walk up to the ladies. If you're next to your wife, I want you to declare with every sense of responsibility. And everyone else, I want you to walk up to a sister this morning. If you're a sister, declare to a sister. If you're a man, declare to that sister that, sister, you need a soft life. Sister, you need a soft life. Now declare, sister, you need a soft life. My sister, you need a soft life. Hallelujah. Now you go ahead and give Jesus praise. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Oh yes, yeah, sisters, you need a soft life. Don't let any devil intimidate you. You need a soft life. In fact, if I were updated to the after service, I need a soft life. Hallelujah. Now, that's a term that has become very popular and at the same time has become very culturally controversial. And that term is captured in those two words which we have just mentioned now, and it is called soft life. Now, the word has been abused, but to the best of my knowledge, it is a call to women, from women, to resist and reject the notion that struggles, stress, and strain should be a social norm for the female gender, particularly the black woman, particularly the black woman. So a soft life in its purest form is not some naive notion that life is going to be easy, but it is a healthy hypothesis that life doesn't have to be that hard. The concept of a soft life is not a suggestion that women don't want to do anything, as men often think when a sister will say, you know, I want a soft life. You know, in their subconsciousness, they automatically assume that women don't want to do anything. But it is that women don't have to do everything. Take note of that. It is not that women don't want to do anything, but it is that women don't have to do everything. So when I googled the word soft life, this is what it gave me, and I read, a soft life is a lifestyle choice that prioritizes ease, peace, and personal well-being over the stress and struggles associated with the hustle culture. It is centered on making intentional decisions to protect one's energy. Take note of that. Intentional in protecting one's energy, set healthy boundaries, and find joy in the present moment without feeling the need to constantly earn rest through productivity. Without feeling the need to constantly earn rest through productivity. Now, we admire our sisters for being strong. When I mean sisters, I'm talking about the women in our lives. We admire our wives, our mothers, our biological sisters, or any woman in our lives for being strong. But one thing we have failed to realize and recognize is that strength is not always their preference. Strength for so many women is a necessity. That is, they are not strong because they want to be. They are strong because they have to be. So sisters are strong because if they have not been strong, they will not have survived. Sisters are strong because if they were not strong, they would not have advanced the way they ought to advance. If they were not strong, they would not have, you know, been able to carry the things that they have been able to carry. So sisters are strong, not out of preference, they are strong out of necessity. And some of our women, our mothers, our wives, our sisters, didn't know how much strength they have on the inside of them until they had to hit a season and a situation, be it in marriage, be it in career, be it in business, be it in raising their children, that now required them to reach down in the reservoir of their spiritual and emotional well-being to pull out strength that is needed to carry what they never expected to have to carry. Many sisters out there are carrying what they have never expected they had to carry. Many of them thought that they were going to be married into a Cinderella kind of, you know, story. But they got into marriage and lo and behold, they discovered that it was no longer the beauty and the beast. It is not the beauty and the devil himself. So they find themselves having to carry the things that they were not supposed to carry. So we often admire the women in our lives for their ability to also multitask. One thing we do not realize and recognize is that that skill is not a preference. It is a necessity. That skill to multitask is not a preference. It's a necessity. Why? Because they had to be multitasking. If they do not do that, their lives will not advance. Their destinies will not move forward. Their lives will not advance. Their destinies will not move forward. So we applaud the women in our lives for their resilience and resolve and their ability to be able to push through things, press through things, and not stop, even when they have to deal with sicknesses, even when they have to deal with painful conditions. And yet, what we all forget to know is that the reason why they don't stop when they are sick, the reason why they don't stop when they are having painful situations and circumstances, is not because they don't want to. It is not because they don't need to stop. It is simply because they know that when they stop, everything else will stop. When they stop, everything else will stop. So you see a woman pushing through. You see a sister pushing through. Even when she is sick, when she's in a painful condition, and she's not stopping, because she knows if she stops, everything else will stop. She knows that the very moment she stops, everything else will stop. Hallelujah. So we see sisters keep on going. They keep on pushing through. They keep on keeping on. Listen, friends, it is not easy to see a sister find herself in seasons and situations where she's overwhelmed. It's not easy to see her find herself in that situation and she's resting. Often you find sisters, they find themselves in situations where they are overwhelmed, they are overextended, they are exhausted, and they even never get the proper amount of empathy they deserve. The proper amount of empathy, they did not sympathy, empathy. The proper amount of empathy they deserve. Now, what do you do as a sister when you are overwhelmed, overexhausted, overextended, and the people that have exhausted you don't even have empathy for you? That's the painful part. That the man that has exhausted you, because most of this exhaustion comes 90% from men. The man that have exhausted, overwhelmed, overextended that sister has no sympathy, no single empathy for the woman. Hey, brothers, I hope you're ready. Because today I'm speaking for these daughters of Zion. Amen. Nobody will ever speak for them. You have bullied some of them too much. They are keeping quiet. So friends, the desire for a soft life for most of our women is them crying out, saying, please help me out. And I believe I'm in a position to do that because I have four sisters. I have three women living with me currently. One, my wife. Two, my daughters. And one out of the two, three of them, I've stayed with her for 23 years. The other one out of the other two, I've stayed with her for 21 years. And the other one, I've stayed with her for 18 years. My friend, do the maths. Hallelujah. Amen. So I know When the sister is asking for a soft life, they're simply asking, saying, please help me out. Now, our text in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25 is an example of what I'm trying to communicate to us this morning. Now, the story introduces us to an asset who is in the form of a woman, and her name is Abigail. Now, Abigail is not an asset just because she is a woman. Abigail is an asset because of the kind of woman she is. Abigail is not an asset because she is a woman, because the Bible also teaches us that every kind is not the same individual. So the King Solomon actually puts it this way. You know, he's the right person to explain to us this better. He says in Proverbs 14 verse 1, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears her down. So you can see that Abigail is not, you know, an asset because she's a woman. The Bible clearly shows us that there are two kinds of women. One is wise, another one is foolish. A wise woman is constructive. A foolish woman is destructive. A wise woman is an asset. The foolish one is a liability. So Abigail is an asset, not because she is a woman. She is an asset because of the kind of woman she is. She is an asset because of the kind of woman she is. So every kind is not the same kind. So that tells us that there are wise women and there are also foolish women. So when we talk about Abigail, as we focus back on Abigail, we are talking about a woman of wisdom. We are talking about a woman of wisdom. Let's see how the Bible describes Abigail, because the description of Abigail, it debunks the myth that people think that you have to live with. Why? Because of what society has shown to us. It debunks the myth that, you know, people have to, you know, be this or that. The description of Abigail debunks the myth that you have to be this or that. Abigail's description, according to scriptures, shows us that you can be this and that. You can be this and that. Society tells us you can only be this or that. The scripture shows us for a woman, you can be this and that. 1 Samuel 25 verse 3, the Bible says his name was Nabal and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. She was an intelligent and beautiful. So Abigail was beauty and brains. Abigail was beauty. And no, but listen, sisters, don't let anybody say to you, because you're beautiful, you are not intelligent. No, no, no. There is this and that, not this or that. Abigail was not just beautiful. Abigail was also intelligent. Put another translation for me. Change translations a bit for me as I continue to preach. Change. When I see them, I will say something about them. The Bible said she was beautiful and she was at the same time intelligent. So Abigail was beauty and brains. She was beauty and brains. She was an example of a woman who could do multiple things all at the same time. The Bible said this man's name was Nabal and his wife Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman. She was a sensible and beautiful woman. Abigail was the type of woman that brings home the bacon and also fries the bacon. Abigail was the kind of woman, she could be this and at the same time she is that. Many women seated here, you are like Abigail. When you walk into the room, help has walked in. When you walk into the room, you're not just looking at the room. The very moment you enter into the room, the house is lifted. The room is there. There are many families today that have survived because of the women in that household. That if you have removed the women there, those families will have folded up. So I celebrate every woman. Now, women, go ahead and celebrate yourself this morning. I thank God for your presence in our lives. And I thank God for the presence of the women in Alive Church. Listen, if we have removed the women at Alive Church will not be Alive Church. Men are too controversial. Yeah. You know, you will have to push a man to do one thing. You will have to push him. And he's always finding a way not to do it. Hallelujah. So Abigail, the Bible said, she was a woman of good understanding and at the same time beautiful. What I'm trying to bring out there is the word beautiful remained constant. In every translation, the word beautiful remained constant. The word beautiful remained constant. The word beautiful. So a woman, you can be beautiful and at the same time you are intelligent.
Don't let anybody tell you because you're intelligent, you're not beautiful. Or because you're beautiful, you're not intelligent. And let's say some say to you, you can't be this and that. No, no, no. You are this and at the same time, you are that. Give the Lord your praise this morning. I say, give Jesus praise this morning. Give Jesus praise this morning. Child of God, that is who Abigail was. She was externally attractive and at the same time, she was internally valuable. When she shows up, help has showed up. She is the personification of God's intention for the woman revealed in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. The Bible said, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, this statement has implication beyond Adam. It is not suggestion that Adam needed an Eve. No, no, no. It was God simply saying that human species needed a woman. It is God saying to Adam, I have given you an assignment that cannot be accomplished without somebody that had something I didn't give to you. That is, you cannot fulfill the assignment I've given to you without you having this person that has something I did not put on the inside of you. There is something I put on the inside of her that when she collaborates with you, what I have called you to do will be fulfilled. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So God was God as the first anesthetologist. He puts Adam to sleep, performed the first surgery on mankind, reached down into Adam as a surgeon, pulled out a rib from Adam, then he fashioned an Isha called Eve. And when she walked into Adam's presence, Adam said, this is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. When Eve showed up, help showed up. When Eve walked in, help walked in. And I'm talking to sisters in this house this morning. Listen, understand your assignment, sisters. Understand your assignment to your family, to your generation, to our world. Understand that anytime you show up, help has showed up. Anytime you appear, help has appeared. And when you understand your assignment, that you are an asset, when anybody wants to disrespect what God has called you to do, you know that they don't really need the help in the first place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you don't want help, then don't call me. Understand that you're a help. Every lady declares, say, I am a helper. Thunder, I am a helper. Thunder, I am a helper. Maybe people around you have declared to you that you're of no good. That devil is a bastard. You are a helper in the name of Jesus. I say you're a helper in the name of Jesus. Listen, Alive Church is what it is today because of Cordelia. Minus Cordelia, leave only me. Alive Church would not have existed. And I say it with every sense of responsibility. And your family is what it is today because of the women in that house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Amen. Listen, sisters, you've not walked into the room just to be cute. You came into the room to be cute and also add value. You came into the room to release wisdom. You came into the room to unleash some gift. You arrived on the planet Earth to turn the kingdom of hell right upside down. You came into the room because you were born for such a time as this. Hear me, ladies. You can do more than carry a baby. You also carry a dream. You carry a vision. You carry a dream. You carry a vision. You carry a dream. You carry a vision. Woman, listen to me. You carry a dream. You carry a vision. Your assignment alone is not to be someone's wife. Beyond being someone's wife, you carry a dream. You carry a vision. You carry a dream. You carry a vision. You do. Your womb is not just to carry a baby. Your womb is to carry visions and dreams. Let nobody lie to you. Let nobody say you cannot become. No, 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 no. Listen, friends. God has called you to be a helper to our world. And that is what you will be in the name of Jesus. I say that is what you will be in the name of Jesus. You don't just carry a baby. You don't just carry a vision. As a matter of fact, ladies carry twins. You carry your husband's dream and your own dream at the same time. Ladies carry dreams. Some of their husbands, they've been forcing them. Arie, Arie, Mona, Arie. Mona is refusing to Mona. Amen. She's carrying her dream, carrying his dream. And after the man comes and says, you never support my dream. Have you ever heard that, ladies? Don't answer if you're next to your husband.
Don't answer one. Don't answer two. Hallelujah. Ladies carry both their own dreams and they give birth to their dream and their husband's dream without any complication, without any stillbirth. So Abigail is an asset. But here is the issue with Abigail. Abigail is not just an asset, but the problem was Abigail being an asset, she was connected to a liability. She was connected to a liability. Let's see how the Bible describes Abigail again. The Bible says his name was Nabal and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. She was intelligent, beautiful and intelligent, but her husband had this unhealthy mixture. And he is not aware that you shouldn't be both of these at the same time. Put message translation for me, please. There was a certain man in Moan who carried on his business in the region of Carmel. He was very prosperous, 3,000 sheep. Okay, thank you. The man's name was Nabal, fool, a Calebite. And his wife's name was Abigail. The woman was intelligent and good-looking. The man, brutish and mean. I looked at the word brutish and mean. The word brutish and mean. Brutish describes behavior that is rough, violent, cruel, or uncivilized, resembling an animal rather than a civilized human being. It suggests a lack of intelligence, compassion, or sensitivity. How many brothers are so insensitive? Often used to describe harsh actions or uncut individuals. So the Bible said he had an unhealthy mixture and he was not aware. You shouldn't be both of these. Brother Nabal, you can't be unattractive and at the same time you are unkind. Brother Nabal, you don't look good enough to be mean. Behave yourself. Brother Nabal, be kind to the women around you. Be kind to the women around you. Be kind to the women around you. Our generation cannot afford unkindness anymore. Be kind to the women. Don't hide behind Bible. You know, actually, the Holy Ghost is on me. Which Holy Ghost? Hear me, friends. Everybody in the house, hear me. Be nice and kind. Be nice and kind to your wife. Be nice and kind to your mother. Be nice and kind to your sisters. Be nice and kind to the ladies that work with you in the office. Be nice and kind to the people you have employed. Be nice and kind to your daughters. Be nice and kind to the women out there. Be nice and kind. Be nice and kind. Husbands, be nice and kind to your wives. She could have chosen someone else, but she chose you. Not because you're Mr. Handsome. She chose you because she preferred you. So, Pastor, what do you mean by Abigail was married to a liability? What do you mean by she was connected to a liability? Why? Because Nabal was an extremely wealthy man. Hear me. I didn't say Nabal doesn't have assets. What I'm simply saying is he himself was not an asset. Nabal was not an asset. He had assets, but he was not an asset. Having an asset and being an asset are two different things. An armed robber may have cars. He has an asset, but he's not an asset. He's a liability to the society. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I didn't say Nabal doesn't have assets. What I'm simply saying is he himself wasn't an asset. But Pastor, he has a job. He has a job. He has a business. That doesn't make him an asset. That doesn't make him an asset because what you have is not who you are. So Nabal was extremely successful, but he failed to understand that success is simply an overachievement in one area. And it doesn't always translate to all areas. That is why, friends, we need to be conscious and careful who we receive wisdom from. Because just because someone is winning in one area doesn't mean they have the wisdom to speak into your life in another area. It doesn't mean they have wisdom. Be careful who you're listening to. Particularly in the days of social media, you don't know the man from anywhere. Just because you see fancy teaching, you follow, you will just die prematurely. Be careful who you listen to.
Because someone can be winning in one area doesn't mean they have the ability to speak into your area. Listen, some of you, you are in a season right now where your choices are so consequential that you have to be uniquely discriminatory in selecting what you are listening to. You, in selecting who you allow speak into your life. Your choices are important for you to be cloudy, for you to be misguided, for you to be misinformed. Your choices are too important. Your family is depending on your choices. Your career depending on your choices. Your next level depending on your choice. At the level Alive Church is right now, I know that my choices are too important for me to be listening to anybody. I've had to streamline who speaks into my ears. And the same thing must happen to you. Because the principle of proclamation says, whoever has your ears has your future. I repeat, whoever has your ears has your future. So Nabal was rich in resources, but he was poor in wisdom. And that's a dangerous place to be. His problem wasn't that he didn't know where he was rich in. His problem was he didn't know where he was poor in. He knew where he was rich, but never knew where he was poor in. When you have overachievement in one area, it can produce the trappings of success. What is the trappings of success? The trappings of success is that, you know, it makes you feel that you are successful in every area. The trappings of success brings you to the place where you have the shadow of success, but you don't have the substance of success. Why? Because you are successful in one area, that you automatically now assume that you're successful in every area. So his success in the marketplace gave him also options relationally. He gave him options because one thing that you and I must understand is success gives you options relationally. So he could take advantage of the options around him. Why? Because he had income. He had income. And since Nabal had income, he could afford an opulent lifestyle. People who associated, who related with him, they admired his wealth and opulence. And he assumed that the relationship was great. He forgot that the reason they admired his, the relationship was looking great is because they admired his wealth and opulence. And they knew that we cannot speak. If we speak up in his life, we will lose the opportunities we have in him. So we keep quiet. We keep quiet. So overachievement in one area can be deceptive. It can be deceptive. And it becomes uniquely complicated because now your success directly impacts the well-being of those around you. And consequently, the more successful you are, the more likely people are not going to be honest with you. The more likely people will not be honest with you. Very few, including friends, will not be honest with you. Particularly those who are benefiting from you. Very few will be able to look straight into your eyes and tell you, behave yourself. And as I've made sure, I've not been captured as a pastor. There's nobody I can't tell, behave yourself. You even if you grow so tall, I'll tell you, behave yourself. The best you can do is carry your Bible and leave a live church. That's it. You don't feed me. You don't own me. I'm not captured. I'm not state captured. Amen. Listen, Nabal is rich, but at the same time, he doesn't know where he is poor in. Because he's so rich in that area that no one was willing to risk it to tell him where he is poor in. Are you like that? That you are so rich in one area, people are afraid to risk it to tell you when you're going out of line. Particularly as men. Particularly as men. And when you don't know who to partner with when you're poor in things, because, you know, when you don't know where you are poor in, you will not know who to partner with. And when you don't know who to partner with, you can have Abigails in your life and you will be underutilizing them. Why? Because you can't see your poverty. And because you can't see your poverty, you can't see their wealth. You can't see the wealth of the Abigail in their life, in your lives. And if you can't see her wealth, you will not position her to release her wealth into your life. One of the things that God has helped me with is to see the wealth in the Abigail God has given to me in form of Pastor Cordelia. God, and because of that, I've been able to position her to release her wealth into my life to help my bankruptcy in the areas I'm bankrupting. How many men are not drinking from the abundance of wealth of the Abigails in their lives? How many men? How many men? How many husbands? Husbands who are not drinking from the abundance of the well of the Abigails in their lives? Because they cannot see their own poverty. And as a result, they cannot see the wealth in the life of the Abigails God has given to them. So they are underutilizing the Abigails in their lives. When you're a man and your wife can't tell you anything, you are a dangerous species. Hear me, husbands. If your wife can't tell you anything, you are the most dangerous human being that ever lived. I actually will ask everybody to avoid you. You are reckless in nature. And I say it unedited. Because God gives us Abigails as Holy Spirits that guide you. How many men have found themselves in trouble because they ignore the voice of the Abigails in their lives? The woman say, where you are heading to will cause us trouble. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. The man recklessly goes in. And now the whole family is in trouble. The whole family is in trouble. Where you're going, I see danger. Our family is falling apart. Our family is going to fall out. And the man recklessly goes in. And the whole family gets into trouble. And now he says, "And you know, come and help me out. Help you out." And we're going to see that shortly as I close. That's what happened with Abigail and Nabal. We're going to see that shortly. Then there came a time Nabal was sharing his sheep and also was making feasts for his shepherds. David now sends men. Remember, this man had so much sheep and he was rearing his sheep and him and his shepherds where within the region where David was. And David, who had been successful in military leadership, protected him and his sheep and his shepherds. Then there came a time this man now was sharing his sheep, the season where it was sheep sharing season, and at the same time decided to make feast because I believe there was so much harvest. I believe the business was doing well. I believe he looked at how much their sheep has been preserved that particular season. No sheep was lost, but he forgot that there was someone he didn't pay protection fee who was protecting his sheep and his shepherds. So he saw the abundance of harvest. He decided to share the sheep and also make a feast for his shepherds. And he forgot that if it wasn't for the protection of David, he wouldn't have had so much sheep. And David sent his men and said, "Please give me some food from whatever you have so that I can feed my men." And Nabal, full of himself, full of arrogance, refused to give to David. There is one thing arrogance does. It gives people selective amnesia. When someone is arrogant, they have selective amnesia. What is selective amnesia? They only remember the things they have done for you. They don't remember the things you have done for them. And there are many people like that, who they can count what they have done for you, and they forget what you have done for them. That's what arrogance does. Let's look at Nabal's response, and I close somewhere here. He said, when David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's, "Sir, listen to this. Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread? It has become my bread. And my water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where." And the Bible said David's men left. They reported I believe they even over-exaggerated it. I'm sure they say, "Hey, Oga, if you see what that man did, how do I know David's response?" Put David's response for me quickly. How do I know that they over-exaggerated David's response? He said, David said to his men, "Each of you strap your sword." He got angry. "Hey, yeah. This man spoke to me like this. I will teach him a lesson he will not forget in a hurry." So they did. And David strapped his own as well. About 400 men. 400 men to go and visit one man's house. That was going to be annihilation. Delete. He would have deleted everybody. And And, you know, oh God, leave it there. For about 400 men went up with David. While 200 stayed with the supply. The same David that defeated Goliath was now on his way with 400 men to go slaughter Nabal and his household. So you can see how Nabal's poverty has put him and his family in danger. May your poverty not put your family in danger in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. I pray for you. May your miscalculation, may your misjudgment not put your family in danger in the name of Jesus. May your poverty not put your family in danger in the name of Jesus. Nabal's poverty, bankruptcy of wisdom, puts the entire family in danger. How many men have put their families in danger? And one of the servants of Nabal, who has enough sense for you to, you will see what I'm trying to say earlier on, says to himself in that predicament, there is only one person I know who has a weapon called wisdom that can bring every one of us out of this danger. They worked for Nabal. But one thing the servants knew was, they knew that the seat of wisdom in the house was not with Nabal, it was with Abigail. He says, Nabal brought us into this, but there's only one person I know that can get us out. And he ran to Abigail. Listen to the servant's words. And one of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. That is how, you know, people who don't understand anything, they mistreat people who have been good to them. They mistreat people. People have been good to you. All of a sudden, you rise from nowhere. You mistreat everybody who have been good to you. You insult everybody who have been good to you. Started insulting. He said he insulted them, mistreated them. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us. The whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now, think it over. See what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man. So the servants knew who he was. It returns back to what I said earlier on. You having income gives you options relationally that makes it difficult for those who are around you to be able to tell you the truth. They can't completely be honest with you because they are afraid they may lose the privileges they enjoy with you. May you never be in such a position. May you never be in such a position that those, imagine, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's not in my notes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what would have happened to Naaman if he was like that? The servant maid would not have been able to say anything to him. But Naaman never used his income and opulence to manipulate relationship. He was so genuine to those he related with that the servant maid could tell him, Master, I know a prophet that can help you. Even when he came out angry, the lady came and said, if I told you to do something, that showed you relationship. But for Nabal, it was not like that. He said, he's such a wicked man. No one can talk to him. Are you that kind of person no one can talk to? And I'm speaking to men particularly now. Are you that kind of a man no one can talk to? That when your wife comes to report you, you leave the church. You're too big. You are now the God of your destiny. I'm the boss of my life. Till tomorrow, I have men who speak into my life. My wife is here. There are men she can speak to when I go out of line that will come into order. One of them is Apostle Victor Chebulam. He's, you know, when when he calls me, even answering the call, I'm shaking. Because it might be she has gone to say something to him that is making him call me. He said no one can talk to him. He knew that this was, and Abigail, the Bible said as I close, acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seas of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisin, 200 cakes of pressed figs, loaded them on donkeys, and she went. The first 3 words, Abigail acted quickly. Abigail acted quickly. Ladies, may you act quickly in the name of Jesus. I say, may you act quickly in the name of Jesus. May when the Holy Ghost is nudging you, may you act quickly in the name of Jesus. When the Holy Ghost is nudging you to do something that will deliver your family, may you act quickly in the name of Jesus. May you act quickly in the name of Jesus. Some families are in danger today because the woman did not act quickly. The Bible didn't tell us that Abigail went to update her Facebook status and say, hey, David is on his way, but we are ready. She didn't do that. She didn't phone. Hey, where are Chomi? Did you hear that David is on his way to attack us? A whole us. She acted quickly. And how do I know that those words are powerful? Verse 34. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord lives, the God of Israel lives, who has kept me from harming, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal will have been left alive by daybreak. So David said, if they had not come quickly, I would have, even if it would have taken me the whole night, I would have gone, I would have done it and cleared everybody in Nabal's life. So she acted quickly. Sisters, hear me. Sometimes your intuition is actually divine urgency. When you get that nudge, do it. Don't delay, do it. When you get that nudge, do it. Sister, stop delaying, do it. Abigail acted quickly. And I prophesy, receive wisdom to act quickly in the name of Jesus. I say, receive wisdom to act quickly in the name of Jesus. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is nudging on you to act on. I pray for you right now. Receive wisdom to act quickly in the name of Jesus. Receive wisdom to act quickly in the name of Jesus. Receive wisdom to act quickly in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says she gave him the gifts. She acted quickly. Let's look quickly to verse 32. And David said to Abigail, please, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who have sent you today to meet me. When you read the text, it looked like Abigail just went, but David said it was God who sent you to meet me. Ladies, hear me. Sometimes obeying your intuition, it is actually following divine promptings. And this tells us that God works through the instinct of a woman. The Bible didn't say she prayed and fasted. The Bible said she acted quickly. I don't know who that is for again. May you act quickly in the name of Jesus. The Bible didn't say she went to social media. She acted quickly. And David continued in verse 33. And that's a blessing I'm bringing over you. The verse 33 actually said, may you be blessed for your good judgment. The Bible makes it clear. So that means Abigail had good judgment. I pray for every woman under the sound of my voice, receive good judgment in the name of Jesus. I pray for you, receive grace for good judgment in the name of Jesus. Receive grace for good judgment in the name of Jesus. I say, receive grace for good judgment in the name of Jesus. Nabal didn't know what he was dealing with. He didn't know that he was dealing with a man that his patience has worn out. But thank God for Abigail's good judgment. And the Bible said in verse 34, otherwise as surely as the Lord lives, the God of Israel lives, who has kept me from harming, if you are not come quickly to meet me, so I will have destroyed. So David was at that point where he was tired of preserving those who hate him. After letting Saul go free, he was tired. He said, this time around, I'm going to avenge. Nothing will stop me. But thank God for a woman with good judgment. And I prophesied David's last words over Abigail, over you this morning. And David accepted from her what she had brought. Go home in peace. I pray for every woman. As you leave this place, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. I say, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. I say, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. You walked in here with a distress. I declare, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. You came in here stressed. Go home in peace in the name of Jesus. You came in here with anxiety. Go home in peace in the name of Jesus. You came in here worried as a woman. You came worried. You're worried for your family. You're worried for your job. You're worried for your business. You're worried for your career. You're worried for your marriage. I pray for you this morning. Go home in peace. In the name of Jesus. You're worried for that child that is out of line. I pray for you this morning. Go home in peace in the name of Jesus. Let your amen come like thunder. I can't even begin to say some things with men present in the room. But let's ask. What do you do when you have to submit to somebody you are wiser than as a woman? Disaster was avoided because a woman had to take action. She could even tell her husband about it. He probably would have stopped her. She didn't go to the husband to say, "My husband, why did you not give David? Can I take this?" No. She acted quickly and took those things. So Abigail going to David to give what her husband has refused to give was not rebellion. She was simply submitting to her highest authority, which was God and not her husband. Hear me. And I say this unedited. Your husband is not your highest authority. Every married woman, listen to me. Your husband is your delegated authority. God is your highest authority. I say that to Pastor Cordelia all the time. I am her delegated authority. I'm not her highest authority. So, whenever your delegated authority contradicts your highest authority, you submit to your highest authority. That is God. Give Jesus praise. You're afraid to clap. You know, I can say that because I'm married as well. So you will say, "What is this small boy that is not married saying?" Your husband is not your highest authority. I am not Cordelia's highest authority. I am delegated authority. And anytime I do anything that contradicts her highest authority, she has the right and liberty to ignore me and obey her highest authority, which is God. And this woman obeyed her highest authority, God, and she delivered her family. Five things quickly. I don't have time for this, but I'm just going to mention it quickly. How can you help a sister live a soft life? Five things on how you can help your Abigail live a soft life. Number one, affirm your Abigail. Affirmation is an indication that you properly perceive her value. And I'm talking about expressing appreciation. Affirm your Abigail. You can't keep beating your Abigail down with words. You can't keep tormenting your wife with words every time. No words of affirmation. Every time. And you hide behind the Bible. God told me. Which God told you? Behave yourself. It's not God. You're lying. God told me. Every time, no words of affirmation towards your Abigail. No words of affirmation. Number two, advocate for Abigail. Abigails are often helping others give birth to their dreams. Hardly have you seen people help her give birth to her own. Speak up for your Abigail. Number three, assist Abigail. It means you accurately identifying the season she's in and discerning the support she requires. They send the support. Many men are always asking, "My wife is not supporting me." When will you support your wife as well? When will you? You know, you don't support my vision. When will you too ask her, "Baby, what is your own vision? Actually, you also have vision. How can I support your vision? What is it that you're pregnant of that I can be part of?" Advocate for Abigail. Assist Abigail. Number three, number four, accept Abigail. Abigail needs to be received for who she is, not for who she is not. Some of the things that agitate you about her is actually what makes her an asset to you. You need to encourage her to go into the better version of herself. Stop pressuring her to become someone she is not. Stop pressuring her to become like you. Abigail can never be like you. I don't pressure Cordelia to be like me. Like, I run. I can't pressure my wife to come and start running. For what? When I come back, I tell her, "I've run on our behalf." I beg, lie down and be sleeping, Jerry. Are you running? Kind of. I don't marry you for suffer. I didn't marry you for suffer. No. No. My Abigail, no. Sean, I didn't marry her for suffer. Even cooking, I cook for her. I said, Abigail, just your own is to chop life. For all the years you suffered with me. Chop life. Accept Abigail. Acceptance is you acknowledging your Abigail and telling her that you are loved in spite of the things that are not going right. I'm not here to judge, I'm here to heal you. Number five, assure Abigail. Just because Abigail is strong doesn't mean she doesn't feel insecure. Assure her. I assure my wife all the time. Assure her. There are sometimes adversity creates amnesias for Abigails. And she temporarily forgets who she is. And she needs somebody to remind her that she's still that woman. When conferences are like this, I tell her, bills will be paid. Don't worry yourself. Go and sleep. Go and rest. What is the bill that cannot be? Conference, ordinary conference. I say, go rest, my wife. I beg, go rest. Go and rest. To be taken care of. Assure Abigail. All I'm saying is, when God blesses you, he often blesses you with people. And you and I have to steward those people well. And recognize when God has given you an Abigail. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Still sitting. We're not standing. Just sit. Father, I pray for every woman. Every Abigail that is in one season or another. With all the complexities of the battles of life. Some are in a season where they feel confused. But I pray for every Abigail under the sound of my voice. Pray for every mother, every woman, every wife, every sister, every daughter. You will extend your hand of healing. Strengthen Abigails. You yourself assure them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.